Oh, good.
Right.
All right, welcome tonight, guys. It should be a very quick meeting. For those that aren't here, would just like to dismiss them. Becky herself, our chair, is on work in Wyoming, so we want to make sure to dismiss her. And she made sure that everything was set up for tonight. Let's go ahead. I'm just going to take a screenshot of who's here so that we can easily take roll. Let's just go ahead and jump right in with our financial report. I saw that Brian Kate came on.
Yes, thank you, Cody. Good evening, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. We'll take a look at the reports. Okay, here we have our PTIF statement as of the end of January for the fiscal year. You can see total interest earned just over $60,000. So it's been a very good year. We had a slight increase. From December to January, just under 9,300 for the month of January. So that's great that it continues to perform well. Alokio and I were remembering the COVID years when we had about $300 or $400 a month. So we'll definitely take this. As far as our budget summary goes, we're currently forecasting an operating margin of just over 3.2%. We've scrutinized pretty closely a lot of the detail of our revenue and expense, as you can see there, a financial summary. We are pretty close on most line items. There more than likely will be a few that we'll need to adjust. Last month, we included the funds from the designated support program, the new program that where $150,000 was received. Because the school was not entering CSI once again. So that is great news on all fronts. That money will be well spent. There are several programs that we will monitor here in the next month or two and make reimbursement requests as needed as well, particularly in our federal funds and a few of our state line items. Also wanted to mention, as you all know, state legislative session is next month. We'll look forward to receiving those legislative estimates and begin, once we receive those, on working on our budget for next year. I'm hearing that requests have been made for the WPU increase. Anyway, I'm hearing that we've res that, that 4%'s been approved, but 5%'s been requested. So we'll probably see somewhere between 4% and 5%, I'm guessing. So we will again wait to get that news at the end of next month. Back to our summary here, cash balance is strong. It's leveling out, slight downward trend, which is typical for this time of year. And enrollment as of the end of January, we were at 536. Okay, any questions on that?
Not here.
Okay, I think that is all I had. Thank you, Cody.
Anybody
Hey,
else have questions for Brian?
I have a question for Brian. I don't know if you've had any contact with other charters that are wrestling with how to implement this new legislation, state legislation. One was the anti-DEI stuff, how that's affecting folks at the at our level as opposed to university level, if at all. And then the transgender stuff, what do we need to be thinking about in terms of implementation?
I haven't heard much on that as far as effects, implementation, strategy, anything at our level. But it's definitely something that we're kind of keeping our ear to the ground as far as what other LEAs are doing. And I would ask the same of you all if you're hearing anything at all. I would say I would let's I would say share that information my way as well if you do.
We had our directors meeting yesterday, And there wasn't anything on the DEI issue, because it really doesn't affect us in any way. Our curriculum is set, and we can't add or do anything differently. So,
what about our hiring preference for Spanish speakers?
I don't think that
Does that get us
related.
In trouble?
No, I don't think that's related at all, because of our dual language immersion charter. It requires us to speak another language. That's what the.
But do we have to seek any kind of? Do we have to invoke any variance or anything, or we just not need to worry about it for the time being?
I think at this point we don't worry about it unless we start hearing things, and we are trying to get a sense of what is going on around the state. Nothing has been said that it affects the charters in any way that worries me. On the other issue, I think we're fine the way we're running the school. We have a boys' bathroom and a girls' bathroom. We haven't had any issues with gender changes of genders and any of those kinds of things in the last 10 years. And so I think at this point, we'll just kind of wait and listen and let those that are having those challenges show us the way, so that when we get those problems, we'll know who to go to and get a little bit of guidance.
That sounds balanced. I like that.
Luis Lopez. You're mute. We can hear you.
How about now?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. So one of the things that I've heard with this legislation is just that the thing that we need to keep our eyes on is on not asking for diversity statements when we hire people.
Yeah.
That's all. That's really
one more time. One more time, you cut out a little bit.
Not asking for diversity statements when we hire personnel. That is one of the big issues with this legislation. So I don't know if you guys ask for those, and if you don't, then like Elogio said, then we shouldn't have any problems.
Yeah, we don't. We haven't asked for diversity statements at all. So I think we're safe.
That's the only one that if you were doing that, you would have to eliminate it. But if you're not asking for it now, then I just wanted to point that out. I know that was a big one there.
Good feedback. Thanks.
Okay, great. Let's go ahead and go to our action items. Just to check, last month, I wasn't in attendance. Was there somebody that took the minutes?
I thought Becky did, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay, I'm pretty sure Becky did. Let me ask Adi if she got them.
Yeah, if she did, they were not sent out, and I don't see them in the board book, so. Either way, we can come back to that. Let's go ahead. And the land trust plan was sent out. They sent that out from the school. Hopefully everybody had a chance to review that. And just kind of a reminder, because we have some that are new, there are different land plots within Utah where the money that's produced from those goes directly to schools. And they're meant to be spent in very specific ways. And so the schools have to come up with a plan to approve that. And they send it to the board and then off to the state. So, do we have specific questions for Elogio if we've reviewed it, or would you like him to summarize and then we can ask questions as well?
I've had a chance to review it, but I'm a little anxious that I may not know what I don't know and am not asking the right questions.
Okay. I can quickly tell you what this is. We're getting right above $80,000. Let's see, $80,146. Our plan, as has been the case for the last 10 years, is to hire teacher assistants to help in the upper grades to make sure that we are improving our end of level tests. And we've been successful at doing so. And I think we want to continue. And our very specific goals are that we will improve 10% from our scores in 23-24. The test that we take in May will improve by 10% in May of 2025. And so those are the goals that we've submitted in the past. And our community council approved this plan. And so I think if you have other questions, I'm more than happy to respond. But this is something that we do every year, and it's required by the state.
And refresh our memories, Eulocio, how those aspirational goals compare to last year.
The goals are the same. So, you know, if let's say that we scored 30% proficient in English, which is the case last year. So this year coming up in May, we should have about 33% proficiency in language arts from last year. It's a 10% improvement. And then in 2025, then our goal should be about 36% proficiency. And we have been gaining that percentage year after year. A couple of times we fell behind. It's not a problem if we do it once, even twice. If it's three times, then they would come back to us and say, you need to redesign how you set your goals. But that has not been the case in the last 10 years. We are on an upward trajectory and without any problem.
Terrific.
Angela has her hand up.
Yeah. So this is to hire the $80,000. So how is this for one person for over a time period or a couple of people for 1 year?
Yeah, it's per year, and it cost us about $15,000 to $20,000 for a teacher assistant, depending on their educational qualifications. And so we do hire about five or six teacher assistants that help us in the classes third through sixth.
So I'm assuming these are part-time people with no benefits?
Correct.
Okay.
Other questions you'd like to have clarified?
Look, in the past, we were talking about moving some of the TAs to full-time positions. How do you see that happening? Is that a possibility still?
We are. We actually have moved three people to full-time position, one in special education, one in the interventionist team, and the librarian became a full-time position. So they get a little expensive, but we will continue to try to increase maybe two or three a year, which will decrease the number of teacher assistants that we have, which is okay, because we are selecting some of the best attenders and hardest workers. And so we will continue to do so in the next year as we have the past year.
Gotcha, yeah. Is full-time 29 hours, 36 hours, or 40 hours?
So full-time teacher assistants work 40 hours a week, and they spread out their money for the whole year. So they get benefits and they get a check twice a month for 12 months. That way they don't have to go find a job in the summer.
Anybody else have questions about this? Okay, very good. Like Eulocio said, this has already gone through the community council. It's already been developed, and so it comes to us very last.
Yes.
So then I would propose that we accept the land trust plan as it's written.
I second the motion.
Then all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's two, aye. Three.
Me too.
Four, and then I need one more. I'm trying to think what we used to do. We used to do hand raise with this. I'm trying to remember.
I don't think the hand raise is necessary if we have the audible.
I was just counting, making sure. Anybody object? Anybody in the name? Okay, very good. Then motion passes. Guys, let's go ahead and move on to there's a discussion item in here about our expansion. Different committees have been working through the past several months. And just because it's in this order, let's go ahead and start with operations. Marty, is that you? Who's the chair?
Yeah, I'll give you a quick update. We had a pre-meeting right before this one started and to go over a few things. We talked a little bit about the scope of our aspiration to get a new expansion building next door for the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And with our new building committee members, Eulokio gave us a nice overview of kind of the vision, although it's just that, it's still a little ethereal. But some of the parameters are, in broad strokes, 6 classrooms, new gymnasium, a new auditorium, which would be a big deal for, you know, our choir and mariachi and other musical things, and grade 6 through 8, probably not need a kitchen facility. We can just shuttle kids across the street, and if necessary in the wintertime, we'd have some kind of, you know, protective archway or cover, or perhaps even, you know, some kind of walkover. In terms of the sequence, we'll kind of approach it in this manner. First and highest priority is to get a financial advisor to give us some input on whether we're in a position, how much it's going to cost, and whether we're in a position to incur that cost, and the extent to which we'll need to go through the bonding process again. And so I've got two candidate financial advisors, both who have experience with schools, and will be kind of preparing an RFP for them in the coming week or two. And then some of the other building committee members will help me screen candidates. Once we get that first step done, we'll then start doing the same thing, interviewing and screening for architectural design firm. Got two candidates that Red Apple gave us that have experience with charters, including the one we, not necessarily the same entity we enlisted last time, but at least the same individuals who have since moved on to other companies. But one guy in particular there that we worked with last time was particularly good. And so we don't want to necessarily default to him, but I think we'll want to give him a lot of respect and credence in the decision. Third step will be thereafter to go through that same RFP, request for proposal process with a couple of contracting firms. And we won't bother with any that don't have substantial charter school building experience, because it's such kind of a niche specialty. And then lastly, we'll start the bonding process. Now, some of those four steps will overlap, because, you know, the bonding takes a long time, and the architectural and the construction are a little overlapping as well. But that gives you a feel for the four steps that we'll be pursuing, with most immediate attention right now on retaining a financial advisor. So we'll keep the broader board updated as our plans progress. Anything to add to that, Angela, Omar, Eulokio?
No, that's what I have.
That's a good summary.
Okay.
Questions from those that were not at that meeting?
Is this going to be built on the lawn across the drop-off?
A good question. We got two locations in mind right now. That's probably the most feasible, but we're not wedded to it absolutely. And part of that decision will be made once we get a little feedback from our contractor, when we ascertain and the architect about how big of how much space we need for those components that we've identified. The alternative location would be immediately sort of due east between our parking lot and the Shopko. That space would be a little more crowded, but that's a potentiality.
Thanks.
Okay, perfect. We appreciate you guys' work. Juan, how was the curriculum committee coming? What do you have to share?
Yeah, I can go.
Eulogio is gonna give an update. We met in December and we finished it. But yeah, Eulogio, go ahead.
Sure. So we found out as we met with Juan and the committee that we don't have a lot of options because most of the classes are mandated by the state. They have social studies, English, math, science, physical education, the arts. And so most of the classes are set. And so the only ones that are optional or at least appear to be is which kind of music they take, which PE they want to take, and the other ones, whether or not they take a Spanish class, or we just teach math in Spanish or science in Spanish or whatever the case may be. So we just don't have a lot of options. The classes are set. I have been actually looking for teachers to teach those classes. We have a science teacher, Mr. Raul Amaya, in the intervention team that he is retiring, but I talked to him and he is willing to come back and teach two classes in science. We have Mr. Camacho, who has a master's degree in mathematics. And he asked if he could teach math to the seventh grade. We have an English teacher, Ms. Chavez. She's also on the intervention team, and she would be willing to teach English. So we're already looking for the social studies, and we have a PE teacher from Venezuela that is willing to teach the PE classes. We have the mariachi teacher who will teach the music classes. And so we're on our way to having all the teachers that we need to teach the classes that are required by the state.
That sounds great.
Any questions?
So we discussed the curriculum, and we're talking about what courses in Spanish, what courses in English, and we have a good plan. That's something that we can send out. We can send out an email to everyone.
Sure.
So everybody's in the loop. For the other committee, if we get something in writing, that would help us also better study. And Eulogio, we didn't discuss, you basically mentioned a little bit about the personnel. What is a plan that you have for the administration team? Would the current vice principal be over seventh grade, or what?
Yeah.
Do you have a plan that you want to run by us?
Sure. The plan is, in fact, we hired Luis Lopez, who is on the call. He actually worked at a junior high in Ogden, Mount Ford Junior High, for many years. Luis, how many years were you at Mount Ford?
10 years.
He was at Mount Ford Junior High for 10 years. He went to Weber State and worked there as the community education director.
Correct. Director for the Community Education Center, and then executive director for outreach and community education.
Yeah. And he also has a lot of experience with construction. They built a community center downtown in Ogden. And he was there from the time they acquired the property until they entered the building to use it. So he knows, and he is actually, what license do you have for construction?
I have a general contractor's license.
And I have a construction company that is not active, but we have a registered construction company and I am a general contractor and yep.
So we hired him to be an intern for the remainder of the year so he can help us with anything you need, Marty.
Perfect. That sounds terrific.
Yes.
Welcome on board, Luis.
Yes.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you, Marty. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm excited. This is very exciting. And I have lived actually the Esperanza experience through the many years since you guys started the school. And it's just an incredible institution. So thanks for having me on your team.
And so we will in the future, we our plan is to have the 6th, 7th, and 8th. That's a middle school school. And so that's kind of, you know, I think eventually the board will have to decide if we want to have a principal at each school and an executive director or you know, you probably need to start thinking about those plans because we still don't have an 8th grade class yet approved, but I think the board will need to think about that if they want to restructure the administrative team. As of right now, I think he would be he has an administrator's license. Luis does, so he would be a vice principal over 6th and 7th grade next year in our school. So we and then the other two vice principals would be kinder 1st and 2nd, and then the other one be 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and then Luis would be 6th and 7th, and once we get 8th would be an 8th grade. So but again, looking into the future during our strategic planning meeting in June, we can talk about this and make any restructuring that you want to do as a board in June.
Just Brian, one quick part that I left out. Also, my curriculum, I can with the building zoning and things like that. If I was a 2-term council member in Ogden, and I can I have some experience in that area as well. So I just wrapped up my 2nd term, served 8 years over there.
Fantastic.
Thank you. That's so wonderful. If I understand, Luis, you're doing an internship right now to get your license as an administrator, right? In education, is that right?
Oh, yeah. No, sir. I am doing an internship right now, but I am a licensed administrator.
Gotcha. So this internship is for what? Sorry.
Just to learn the system, how it works, our philosophies, our, and for him too, he needs to know to see if he wants to continue driving from Ogden. He lives on the northern part of Ogden, and he needs to figure out if this is what he wants to do. I mean, it's a big change for him. So we thought he'd do an internship to kind of try it out, to figure it out and see if this is what he wants to do, Juan.
Gotcha. Okay. So it's an internship through us in reality.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, hired him as an intern so he can learn the system and he can learn the system and figure out if that's what he wants to do.
Perfect. Thanks.
Okay. Very good. In fact, Alokia, that's the perfect segue for to move into your report.
Hold on. I have one question.
All right. Ask
okay, away, Jeff. Go. It says Jeff on the screen.
So we are not offering Spanish is not like a given in the junior high. Is that what you're saying?
No, we are absolutely teaching Spanish. We are having we decided as a team which courses are going to be in Spanish, like math or science and those kinds of things. What the option is an additional Spanish class on top of that, a Spanish language arts class.
Okay. But so that they could continue in with the dual immersion as they go 50-50. Up to the high school?
It'll be 50-50.
So they could do like, we could teach like a culture class where they need that for the AP Spanish test in ninth grade.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we definitely will be 50-50. Yvonne Medina, you have your hand up.
Yeah, sorry. I was just going to ask, when are we planning on disclosing officially that there will be a seventh grade next year?
We were kind of waiting to see this meeting that we held today before the meeting, the building committee meeting. We will be sending an email out Monday.
Thanks. Sorry, I don't know how to take my hand down.
And that seventh grade can precede long before our new building's up and ready to go.
That is correct. We are having a little bit of pushback, as I mentioned at our last meeting, from the choir teacher that is concerned that we're taking her classroom and she's going to have to go from class to class. And so we're trying to deal with that issue before we disclose it to everybody else so that the questions are not too many.
Okay.
When we work on the curriculum committee, I'm very glad that we're going to have the strongest model in the state. All the junior highs have a dual language program. They only have, they're no longer content-based. They can have a cultural class. They do have a cultural class and Spanish language arts, but that's pretty much it. We're going to have, we're going to do a content-based teaching model based on the 90-10 model. It's going to be 50-50 up there, but we're going to be teaching course subjects in Spanish as opposed to the rest of the public schools in Utah.
We'll just go out
so it's going to be much stronger. Right, they no longer do 50-50 model up there. They just do 10%, 5% or so.
And the other thing that people may want to know is that some of the teachers that we're getting are native Spanish speakers from different countries.
Don't hesitate to honk if you have to, if I'm not hearing it.
Oh, no worries. No worries.
Anyway, so yes, Juan, I am really excited about the seventh grade. Okay, I'm going to share. Were there any other questions before I start sharing? It. Okay, can everybody see the PowerPoint? Okay, our enrollment is still high, as you saw on Brian's presentation. Our wait list continues to be strong. We finished the middle of the year testing, and I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Gosain to share some of the results. Are you there, Maestro? Gosain, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Okay, perfect. So let me share with you. Okay, so this is middle of the school year. This is MOY, that's why M-O-Y, MOY. We're testing in IDEL, so reading in Spanish, kinder to third grade, especially, but this is the whole school, doubles reading in English. Math Acadians and Rice Interims. So in the Spanish, this is 2023, so last year, this the same period in February, and this is 24. So kindergarten was 55% proficient, now it's 56. You can see the column, and the main idea here is that at the end of the year was 56 here, and at the end of the year was, can you see, it was this one, 61%. So our goal this year is to reach 65%. The state requires to have 60%. And then for reading in English, we are about the same. You can see kinder, first, second, third grade. It was 41 in 2023. We are in 2024 and it's still 41%. The goal is again 65%. And last year we were 61%. So we made the goal, the growth. So we still having the same. It seems that we have the same numbers, 41% or 41%, but we want to reach the 65%. The Manakedians is, I think is, we look much better because first grade was 52, now 68. Second grade is a little behind, 1%, and third grade is above, 48%. So last year in 2023, we were at this time 42%. Right now we are at 55%. So we are in a much better position. And our goal is to reach again 65%. As Mr. Alejandro mentioned it, these are outcome from RISE from last year, language arts 30, math 38, and science 36%. So for RISE, this is our. These are current for language arts. Currently, this is our interim was 19, 16, and 20%. At the end of the year was 30.3, as you can see here, 30.3. So our goal is to get 10% more. So we want to reach 33%. And as you can see, this is the interim from RISE, and we're about like 19, 4th grade 16 to 23, 5th grade 20 to 21%, a little higher. So we have high expectations to reach our goal in language arts. Finally, in math, our we were 38%, 38.6, as you can see here. So here is our goal is to reach 42%. So I think in the one hand, we are very close to as we did the last year, but our expectation is to increase 10%, as Mr. Alejandro said. And I think we're on the right track to achieve our goal. And always like, this is our growth. So it's, our growth has been amazing. So what we want to point out. So we expect the same growth and Richard or goes, this is the first year that we have accomplished 30% in every subject for English, math, and science. So we want to aim to the stars, so to reach a 40% is our goal in all the subjects. The hardest is language arts, but we're on the track. And we need to remember that we're doing a dual immersion school, and that we do 90-10 in first to in kindergarten to second grade, so it is hard to reach the goal in English and language arts because of our component. But at the same time, it is you can see that it's getting higher when we move in reading.
Go back to that screen that you were on the last one. We want to make sure that everybody looks at the growth and look at that semicircle there where it says that we are at the highest level in growth.
Good.
There is no one better. There's no better way to be doing it. This is as high as it can get. This is very, very high in the growth. And we've been doing that for the last 7-8 years. Reaching the exemplary level every year in growth. And that is something to be noted.
Yeah, thank you for clarification. This, you can see exemplary. and developing here. So especially with our community, I think we're doing a great job. Yeah. If you have more questions, just feel free.
And let's to remember that the Hispanic average for English language arts in the entire state is 24. Mathematics is 24 and science is 25. So we are way above the average for Hispanic students in the state of Utah.
That's true. Thank you.
Questions about that?
Thanks, Nate.
Okay, so we move on to the next
consultation.
We have we're planning a 10th year celebration for our school, and I believe Yvonne, did you talk to Sarah to see if she could join us?
Yeah, she said she could not, but I can give a little summary.
Go ahead.
So there is a committee that is planning the celebration for 10 years. It will be happening April 20th. And that's a Saturday from 11 to 2. And we have events planned where we have some of the founding members come. I believe Ms. McKnight will be reaching out to the board members to invite you personally to attend to this celebration. We're going to be having our mariachi perform for our families. And we will also be having Mariachi Guzman. Some of the teachers for our mariachi are in this mariachi group. And we will be highlighting teachers that have been with Esperanza since the beginning. So we're still finalizing some details. But this is the celebration that we are planning for not just our school, but our families.
Any questions about this celebration from the board?
So it is on, could you repeat the date and time again?
Yeah, April 20th, that's a Saturday from 11 to 2 p.m.
And we will have food for everyone, I believe. Are we getting tacos?
Yeah, I forgot to neglect that big, important part. We will have tacos.
Yeah, I think we're buying, is it 500?
We are buying 4 tacos per person, and we're estimating about 500.
So 2,000 tacos.
Yes.
Any questions?
Are we going to have the media there, a newspaper or Telemundo?
We will invite the media. In fact, even the English media, Channel 4, Channel 13, we have contacts. Of course, Telemundo, Univision, and then Azteca America.
Nice.
And so you'll be getting more information from Mrs. McKnight. The next item is home visits. Marty wanted to be invited, and all of you are invited. Do you have the dates, Yvonne?
Yes. So our first training will be happening this Friday. We scheduled one at 9 in the morning and another one at 2 p.m. on Friday. You can participate at this training via Zoom. I can send the Zoom link. If you cannot attend this Friday, then we set apart, I believe, next Friday. Sorry, I don't have the date. February 23rd at 2 p.m. So I'll be sending out the link so that you can attend to either of those 3 trainings, whatever works best with your schedule.
And this is only if you want to accompany one of the teachers to do the home visits. If not, it is not necessary to attend. Okay, we'll move on to the next item. Kindergarten registration, we opened it on the 16th. As of today, we had 81 slots available. We have 81 students that are registered. We will continue to register another probably 7-8 students just in case these kids end up not coming. And then the rest of them will be sent to a waiting list. And usually we end up with about 100 kids, kindergarten kids, on the waiting list by the time school starts in August. So this is just the remaining board meetings. The next one is on the 12th of March. And we'll decide if we are meeting in the conference room or not. Just a reminder, I am checking for dates in Park City for June the 7th and the 8th. So if you can kind of put that on your calendars for now and let us know if you cannot attend the 7th or the 8th. And we're talking about the board members specifically. Any questions? If not...
Can you go back to the meetings? I just wanted to write them down. Thanks.
We're open for any questions at this time.
The Park City Conference is like all day Friday or evening Friday and then Saturday.
Thank you for asking, because you haven't been part of that. So Friday, we typically meet for team building activities and dinner. We stay the night, and then Saturday morning, typically we have a board meeting in the morning and then training and strategic planning for the rest of the day. We stay there Saturday night if you want to, and if not, you can come back Saturday night. We end at about 5 or 6. The reason some of us stay on Saturday night is so that we can work late Saturday. Otherwise, we would have to leave at 11 a.m. or 12 noon. So we just rent a few other rooms for Saturday night so that we can work there late until Saturday, 5 p.m. Other questions? Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for coming tonight. Quick, fast, efficient. We love it.
Okay, we're done.
Okay, have a great night, guys.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.